Good evening, Apollo. Thank you so much for having me. I'm delighted to be here. You know, when I found out that I was going to do this gig, I immediately put together a message and I pinged it out on our family WhatsApp group to my husband and my children, because that is the kind of rock and roll comic I am. And my son, my teenage son, wrote back to me at once, and his message said, "Thug life chose you, brah." And I was like, oh shit, my child has joined a gang. I mean, what kind of language is this? Thug and bra? It had two R's, but he's a terrible speller. And I was like, oh no. And the other thing is, I thought, this message is not for me. This idiot has sent me a message by mistake, which is for a gang member. What if the next message is something much worse? And that really bothered me because, well, this was my moment. I am going to Apollo. Like, if I'm going to find out you're a criminal, can we do it next month? So I wrote back to him in all caps, because as a good Indian mother, I mainly shout at my children. I wrote back, "This is your mom." And he wrote back, "I know, gigging like a boss." Thank you. A boss. BAWSE, boss. And also, please do remember, as you listen to the rest of my set this evening, that I didn't choose it, but the thug life chose me. That's right. So I have kids. Of course, you love your kids, and it's difficult to raise them. Small kids are very easy, I find. The biggest downside of having a very small child is they are very boring. Yeah, they want to show you they love you by talking to you all the time, but everything they know, you already know. I mean, literally zero value add in any of those conversations. But you do it anyway because they're your kids, you know? And you know what people say, small kids, small problems, big kids, bigger problems. And the reason is that as your kids get older, you have to discipline them properly. And I find this very stressful because I'm born and raised in India. So what I consider robust, healthy, high-quality parental discipline is frowned upon in this part of the world. That's not true. It's illegal. I know because I have checked. And I want to have really well-behaved kids, but that is no use to me if I am in jail. So, I have to learn what you guys do here. And the big thing here is teach your kids about action and consequence using a multitude of techniques. So you have something called star chart. You know what star chart is? Yeah, no, let me tell you, sir. Star chart is you find something vaguely not negative that your child possibly might be able to do and then work it into the conversation and give them a star. Thank you for not kicking me in the face today. Here's a star. And then the other one, action and consequence, naughty step. You've been terribly behaved. Kindly go relax on the staircase. And I was like, I cannot get on board with this. So what do we have from my culture that I can somehow glom onto this so it makes sense to me? And then I thought, of course, our parents talk to us about action and consequence, but the way they do it is they implicate us from the time we're very young in their death. And they use this as a way to guide our behavior. Let me give you an example. Let me find someone who... Sir, what is your name?
John.
John, can I use your name for this? Okay. So, John, imagine you're 4 years old, and your mother will say to you, "John, I told you to put one spoon of chocolate in the milk. Why have you put two? Because you want me to die." Very effective with small children, you know? It focuses them. And John, your mother could be from anywhere in India. So if she was from Gujarat, she might say something like, John, bechamach mukyo, mora loi piyo. John, you put 2 spoons of chocolate in your milk. Why are you drinking milk? Drink my blood. If she's from Punjab, she would say, John, do chamach paiye. Are John, main pitta jawa. Main pitta jawa. John, you put 2 spoons of chocolate in the milk. Fine, I am going to beat myself to death. You please stay here and enjoy your milk. Yeah. My mom speaks Hindi, so what she would probably say is, "Arey John, chammach kya tantana rahe ho? Chura uthao. John, why are you tinkling that teaspoon? Pick up the knife. You know it's what you want." Good stuff. And it was working so well for me with my firstborn, until when he was about 7, I got a phone call from his school. And the teacher said, could you and your husband please come in? Your son has some very specific anxieties. So I went. I didn't take my husband. My husband is Danish, which is to say there is zero overlap in our parenting techniques. Yeah, Danes. My husband's entire parenting repertoire is, darling, please be very, very, very happy. Here is some Lego. So I went, and the teacher said, we don't understand, he's a great boy, great kid, but every time we give him back homework and he hasn't got full marks, he says, I don't want to go home, I think my mother might be dead. And on the inside, I was like, yes. What a good boy, he's been listening. My son. But on the outside, I was like, what? No. Oh, I'm so sorry. I can't imagine. Well, what can I say? Danes are very bleak. And I left it. But when I got home, I was like, I need to change. I can't have this conversation with the teacher every week. So I changed. I started doing naughty step and star chart, with the result that I have 2 teenagers who are impossible. Oh, who here has a teenager? Please. Exactly. 3 people have come out. The rest with teenagers are at home crying into their wine. Yeah, teenagers, they're impossible. They're rude, they misbehave, they never do what they're supposed to. And the problem is, over here, what are you taught? You're taught as a parent, you must have honest dialogue with them. Honest dialogue. First of all, I did not grow up with dialogue. I grew up with monologue. You know? Like my mother told us shit, we went and did it. And also, you never told your mother what you wanted or what your hopes were. I remember once I went to my mother and said, Mommy, I think when I grow up, I want to be an actress. She said, actress? Like Hollywood, Bollywood, why don't you go straight to prostitute? And I was like, okay, fine, but what does that mean? I'm 7. Like, I had no idea. And dialogue, honest dialogue, honest. Teenagers can't handle the truth. You know, I know this because my daughter, she's a teenager, she came home from school and said, Mom, what if I'm depressed? And I was like, well, have you been looking at your math grades? Because then, yes, and frankly, you should be. Not the right answer. Oh, and honest, she came to me and said, Mom, what if I'm gay? I was like, what if? She said, no, how will I know? So I was like, I need to tell this kid the truth. And I said, well, listen, you're in an all-girls school. You kind of won't know. You just feel gay for a while. And then when you leave, you'll figure it out. I went to a convent, I said to her, and for 5 years, I had a proper crush. A damp underpants crush on my house captain. And now look at your father and me. Once a week I make him dress up as a nun and we're fine. Fine. She did not like that. Honest dialogue. And the worst thing is you can't really complain over here in the West about how teenagers behave. You know why? Because it's never the teenager's fault. It's their hormones. Oh. Yeah, neural pathways, blah, blah, blah. Their hormones. My son's hormones are stopping him from texting me back. son's hormones are stopping him from making his bed. And my son's hormones are making him call me bra. Hormones. This hormone hoax, it is a hoax. Because it's not working in India. If I had ever said to my mother, yeah, I'm 16, I'm a teenager, it's my hormones, I'm not going to do this or that. You know what she would have said? She would have said, oh, okay, come. Bring it here, hormone. Come. Come, come. Once, come. And I would not be standing here today. And she would have had another child and raised it properly. And no other species cuts their kids this much slack. Nowhere else in the animal kingdom. Hey, how many of you watched that clip some, like 2 years ago, with the baby iguanas running away from the snakes? Wasn't it so emotional? Remember, like the one baby came out and the snakes got it, and then the next baby came out and the snakes got it, and you were like, ah, and then another, the third baby was like, holy shit. Remember that? And then suddenly this baby sprung out of its egg and legged it towards the mother. Remember how it was running like this? And these snakes were coming. You're like, holy shit, it's a lot of snakes. And she was running. And then the snakes caught it. Do you remember that? And started to turn it. And you were like, oh, no. And David Attenborough was like, well, today's not. You're like, shut the fuck up. It was so sad. And then this baby had one leg free. Remember what it did? It freed itself. And exactly, and it started going, and you were like, run, baby, run. And all these snakes were coming out. You're like, get away, run, run, run. I have never cheered any of my kids like this ever. Never, never. And then this baby was running, and you were on, and then it jumped, and one snake came, and finally the baby landed in front of its mother. And the mother was like, where have you been? And the baby was like, I came out of my egg. And they ate John. And then they ate Sarah. And the mother's like, well, John and Sarah have a good reason to not be on time. Do you remember that? She didn't give a shit. And all my friends, I was watching it with them, and they were like, oh my God, look at the baby iguana. I'm like, what? Look at the big iguana. My mother is inside that iguana. You've been so nice, Apollo. Thank you so much. Have a good evening.